wonder if you've ever had a conversation or an encounter that you know has changed your life. Perhaps you've had a rom-com worthy moment the first time you met your significant other. Maybe it was a meeting or a conversation with someone that shaped your future career or inspired you to make a key decision. Maybe it was that meeting with the first person you met on the first day of school who has gone on to be your friend ever since. Maybe it's an experience or a book or a movie, or maybe, dare we say it, a sermon that has profoundly impacted the way you see life and how you have sought to live it since. I know for me, I can think of examples of all of those things: conversations, encouragements to open doors, books that extended my view of the world, and sermons with times of worship where God spoke profoundly into my life, challenged me to the core, dared me to step deeper into his plans for my life. You see, encounters with Jesus transform us. Time spent in scripture, God's living, breathing word, changes us. Moments of worship, praise, prayer changes situations, breathes peace, renews our hope, strengthens us when we feel weak, lifts our eyes to the one who holds our lives in his hands. Now this morning we come to the final week in our Lent series, Waiting in the Wilderness. You know, we've journeyed through Lent together in this pandemic wilderness, separated from one another, but journeying with God as a church family online. We've wrestled with what it means to deny temptation like Jesus, that we too might exit the desert together, strengthened in our walks with God. We saw in Abraham and Sarah's story what it meant to trust in the promises of God, to cling to his word and his hope, even when circumstances are trying and the wait is longer than what we wish it was. We saw in God's miraculous provision of manna in the desert, his care for his people, God's rhythms of grace and love, a God who sought to provide for his people daily in the wilderness. And last week, Carol unpacked Elijah's story, a God who didn't come to Elijah's weariness and frustration with just nice words to cheer him up, but a God who deeply cared for his needs, food and rest, and the lifting of Elijah's eyes to see that he was not on his own, even though Elijah felt he was. A God who chose to speak in a small whisper, a still, calm voice, not the earthquake or the wind or the fire, but a God who cares for your needs and who whispers to each of us of his love over us, even in the quiet stillness of the wilderness. Today we find ourselves in John 4 with an encounter at a well that brings transformation. A woman in a relational wilderness. She's isolated, she's removed from society. She's coming to draw water from a well, and with a simple question, a man who is thirsty changes not just her life, but an entire village's. Let's jump into John 4 together. Now, Jesus and his disciples are on the move. They've been in Judea and they're heading for Galilee, and they take a route that passes through Samaria. They come to a town called Sychar near Jacob's well, and Jesus is tired, which isn't really that surprising because they've traveled a long distance. Jesus sits down by a well to rest and sends the disciples on into the city to go and buy some lunch. We are told it's nearly midday. It's approaching the hottest time of the day, and here comes a woman to draw water from the well. Now, usually water is drawn early in the morning whilst it was cool. It was a chance for the women in the town to talk and to be together. But now at the hottest time of the day, a woman on her own comes alone to draw water. And Jesus asks her for a drink. Now the woman is shocked. That's maybe an understatement. You see, men and women were encouraged at this time to not even meet one another's eyes on the road. There were strong social expectations and criteria in place. Do not look, do not acknowledge, definitely don't engage or speak to someone of the opposite sex, especially if they are on their own. Then add in the fact that this is not only a woman, but also a Samaritan, sworn enemy of the Jews, but Jesus doesn't care. He sees her and he initiates conversation. Jesus has a need. He's thirsty. But he also sees this woman as she is and knows she has a deep need too. In compassion, Jesus asks a question, begins the conversation that is about to change everything. What follows is the longest recorded conversation Jesus has in the Gospels. Let that sink in for a minute. Jesus' longest recorded conversation is not with someone that others would deem important, but with a Samaritan woman who has clearly been rejected from her village. Now, this woman is initially confused by Jesus, who says she should be asking him for a drink, and she wonders how he can provide that since he has nothing to draw water from. He instead promises her water that leads to eternal life, that once drunk will lead to the recipient never being thirsty again. Now, obviously, she wants this mysterious water and asks for it. However, Jesus has a request for her. Go and get your husband. Now, in that moment, the woman has a choice. What will she say? Will she share of her personal circumstances, the very thing that has led her to be rejected from the town? And with startling honesty, the reply comes, "Sir, I have no husband." Jesus commends her honesty and then expands her answer. "Yes, you currently have no husband, but you've had five. You're currently living with a man who wasn't your husband." This woman, let's be frank, has had an awful run of broken relationships. She's suffered a lot at the hands of men. She's now in a relationship drought. She's got a past record that everyone seems to know about. Her current living arrangements are in no way allowable by the laws of the time. And this track record reveals the source of her isolation from the village, the scandal that has led her to the well at the worst time of the day, to avoid the eyes of others, the gossip of the town. And yet in this conversation, she is met not with eyes of judgment, but by eyes of love. Not met with words of condemnation, but words of promise and possibility. Now the woman is floored that Jesus knows this about her. Notice she says, "I see you are a prophet." Note with me also that her immediate response at being told of her circumstances are not of shame and guilt, but awe and wonder. But watch how quickly, perhaps in the embarrassment, she turns the attention away from herself and tries to engage Jesus in what is a deeply complex conversation about worship instead. Let's remember, this woman's a seemingly illiterate, rejected, scandalous woman, but look at the depths of her faith. You see, what follows is an extraordinary exchange. Remember, this is not a temple ruler or leader, but a scandalous woman from a Samaritan village. What does Jesus say? Salvation's hour is coming. Worship will no longer be divided by which mountain you worship on or based on the traditions that have been handed down. But instead, says Jesus, all will worship in spirit and in truth. All will worship together. He seems to be repeating the promises that Jeremiah spoke about in our first reading. Great and least will come together to worship. Why is this important in this context? Well, Jews and Samaritans are both part of Abraham's line, but there had been division and hatred sown for hundreds of years. The Samaritans believed that only the first five books of our Old Testament to be the revealed word of God. They had built a separate temple on Mount Gerizim and were seen by the Jews to be inferior and disgusting. But this woman knows her Samaritan beliefs well. She says, I know the Messiah is coming. He's going to reveal all. And in a totally staggering moment, Jesus reveals who he is. I who speak to you am he. What? Jesus reveals who he is. The only person he reveals himself to be the Messiah to is this woman at a scandalous, illegal conversation about a well at the hottest hour of the day. Into this woman's scandal and rejection, Jesus says, I'm the one you're waiting for. The one you hope will reveal all things, it's me. And then almost unbelievably, in classic disciple-esque behaviour, they arrive back with chicken and chips at probably the worst possible moment. They interrupt the conversation. They're stunned to see Jesus talking to this woman on her own, but nobody dares say anything. What's interesting though is the woman leaves quickly. She leaves her water jar behind, love that detail, and goes back into the village with a simple message and a question for those she encounters. There's a man in the well who's told me everything. Can he be the Messiah? Is he the one we're all waiting for? She gathers the villagers together and they go out to see Jesus, questions hanging in the air. What happens next? Well, many of the villagers believe in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. They ask Jesus to stay another 2 days, and many more come to believe in him. Not just because of the woman's conversation, but because of their conversations with Jesus. The village declare, he is the saviour of the world. What a story. Encountering Jesus leads to transformation in John's gospel, but also today in our lives. 2,000 years later, in the middle of a global pandemic, what does God want to highlight afresh to each of us this morning? Well, first up, Jesus is wearied from a day's travel. He sits down by the well where he waits for the Samaritan woman to come. He is still the God today who sees you and waits for you, who seeks out opportunities. Jesus, in John's gospel, though wearied, sends his disciples ahead to clear the way for the conversation that is to come. The God, yes, of the universe, but a God too who sees us, who knows our burdens, who waits by the well at the hottest hour of the day to reach us. If you're wearied and having a rest, it doesn't make sense to sit out in the sun unless you're waiting for someone who you want to see. Jesus doesn't go and lie down in the shade somewhere. No, he waits and sits, anticipating the encounter that is coming. Notice also that Jesus sits at the sight of the woman's shame. This woman has to come on her own to avoid people. It's costly and it's painful. It was physically demanding, and despite her efforts to avoid the eyes of people, she perhaps for the first time in encountering Jesus is really seen. Not by a man of judgment, but a man who knows her track record, but who loves her and speaks words of hope and purpose regardless. You know, Jesus travels for all of us. If it's not too much of a stretch to say he sits in the midday sun, maybe for those of us here, he sits in the freezing cold bench to encounter us today. God comes close. John in his gospel says he moves into our neighbourhoods. Where do you expect to encounter him today? Where are you ready for Jesus to interrupt your day with words of hope and meaning and purpose? Where are your eyes open to see Jesus at work in your situation? Do you believe that God sees you and knows you and loves you? Now, one of the things I love about this story is that it's clear that no one is excluded from the love of God. No one is excluded from that encounter with Jesus. The woman has been excluded, rejected from all of society, so much so that she comes to the well now. She's been known by many men, but she's now in a relationship drought. She's removed from community and isolated. In a society dominated by the laws of Pharisees, she's fallen far short. She's borne a heavy cost relationally. The village have excluded her, but Jesus doesn't. He sees her coming. Her presence is acknowledged. She is seen and she speaks. Her words are recorded. Jesus treats her with dignity and was prepared to breach age-old conventions to reach her. You know, she's startled that he asks for a drink, but she's not afraid of him. She's not intimidated by him. The conversation flows naturally. At no point does Jesus seem odd or scary to her. Indeed, she wants what he's offering. Sir, give me this water so that I need not continue to thirst. Others have rejected her. She's been gossiped about and excluded. She's probably known just by her track record. She's written off. And yet here is Jesus speaking with her, affirming her answers, offering her life-giving water and drawing her out of herself. But see with me that conversations with Jesus, time in his presence, doesn't lead this woman to shame or to guilt, but instead hope, revelation and new beginnings. Because in Jesus there's freedom from the past. There's hope instead of shame. There's dignity in place of guilt. You see, the woman is honest in the face of Jesus' instructions. Her honesty leads to a revelation of who Jesus is. We all come to Jesus with brokenness, with shame and regret and labels we've given ourselves or others have spoken over us. We all fall short of perfection. But when we are honest about that with Jesus, when we come with our questions, when we tell him of our hopes, as the woman did, we see more of who Jesus is. We understand more of who we are. You know, the woman expressed her longings for the Messiah, the one who would tell them all things, the one who would make everything clear. And what does Jesus do? He reveals himself to her. The one you are seeking, I am. Today, come to Jesus with all of who you are. Know that all-encompassing love of Christ. Others may have rejected you and still may reject you, but the Saviour Jesus Christ does not. Openness with Jesus leads to revelation. What are you trying to hide or keep secret from a God who wants to relieve you of the burden of that secret? What are you trying to keep to yourself, whereas if you brought it to God, you would know his love speaking over every part of your life and who you are? But notice that Jesus' transforming love doesn't just affect us as individuals. Jesus' transforming love has much bigger consequences for this village. Because the woman hurries back. She leaves the water jug behind. The very reason she set out to come to the well means nothing in light of the conversation she's had. You know, what can physical water do in comparison to the eternal water she's just found out about? You know, the conversation with Jesus changes everything and she has to share it with those she encounters. Note with me, she's sharing the possible good news of the Messiah with those who have rejected her. Those who have isolated her. But the possibility that this man by the well is the one they're waiting for, she cannot keep it to herself. What's the message on her lips? This man knows everything I've done, and he didn't cast me away. Could he really know me? Could he really be the one we're waiting for? The village respond immediately. They journey out to the well to see this man, this woman is talking about. This woman who even that morning, who had not been seen or heard by anyone, suddenly carries words that changes everyone's days. Her testimony carries weight. Her questioning prompts others to action. Many in the village come to believe because an encounter with Jesus leads to revelation, which leads to evangelism, which leads to transformation of an entire village. Relationships are restored. Community is re-entered into and hope is found. Now, I love it that the woman goes back to the village in a hurry to share the possibility that the Messiah is at the well. Jesus reveals to her he is the Messiah, and her first thought is to go and get the others. If Jesus is who he says he is, it changes everything, not just for her, but the whole town. Her words matter. People in the town hear her and believe. Others are intrigued enough to go and find out for themselves. This woman who has done everything she could to avoid encountering the town is now going around looking for people to encourage them to come and see Jesus. Her whole outlook has been changed by the conversation. She's no longer hiding from the crowd, she's gathering one up. She's no longer avoiding interactions, she's pursuing them. She's no longer isolated, she's the crowd leader. The village follows the woman back out to Jesus, and many too, having heard Jesus' words, put their trust and hope in him. Here's the challenge for all of us. How can we be like this woman this week? Who do we need to share our stories with of the God who knows us, who loves us, who changes everything for us? Who do we need to point in Jesus' direction? Who needs to know about the one who brings hope and light and peace and truth and mercy and new starts and love and purpose this week? Who do we need to walk into Jesus' presence with? Who do we need to encourage to come and see? The one who knew everything about you and loved you and wants to do the same for those around us. Who are you sharing this service with? Who are you offering to pray for this week? Who are you sharing your hope with when the opportunity or the question arises? Because put it straight, if Jesus gives meaning and hope to you, who else does he have purpose for? Who else today needs to know they are loved and seen by a God who would sit by the well at the hottest hour of the day? Who are you introducing to Jesus this week? Now, maybe some of us here today need to think afresh about who Jesus is. Because the woman at the well in the course of the conversation goes on some journey towards the revelation. Notice first, her first impression of Jesus is simply that he's a Jewish man. Why would you, a Jew, talk to me? Then notice he becomes a sir, because he's important. Then notice he becomes a prophet. Then notice that Jesus reveals himself to be the Messiah. Before, what did the whole village say? This man is the saviour of the world. Who is Jesus to you? Is he just an important man? A sir? Maybe you think he's just a special prophet. Or what so many people say, that Jesus is a good teacher, isn't he? But he's not God. Maybe you're happy to think of him as a good teacher, as a prophet, because then you can admire him, but you don't need to change your life because of what he says. But do you really know him to be the Messiah, as he claims to be? The promised one, God himself, who comes close, who dies upon the cross and rises again. Is he your Lord and Saviour today? Have you really encountered him? Have you known his transforming love? If we're honest, are we Sunday attenders or all-in disciples for Jesus? See, the woman chats with him. Jesus reveals himself to her and it changes everything. Do you know Jesus and his transforming love, that's making a difference in your life? Do you want to know him more? Maybe today is a day we choose to say yes afresh, that we step deeper into the plans he has for us, where we commit afresh to look more seriously at our Bibles, to pray, to spend time in worship, that we too would move deeper into the revelation of who Jesus is and ultimately what that means for our lives. Do we want to live in freedom today, or just under obligations and restrictions? Are we pursuing relationship with the Saviour of the world? The woman at the start of John 4 was in a relational wilderness. She was isolated from others, rejected from community. She came alone to draw water from a well, but a conversation changed everything. An encounter with Jesus brought transformation, not just for her life, but to a whole village. The same Jesus pursues each of us today, regardless of our backstory or our present circumstances. Today, do you wish to drink of his living water? Are you ready to be all in, to share of the hope Jesus brings? The man, the Lord, the Saviour of the world, knows everything you've ever done and he loves you the same. Could Jesus be the one you're searching and hoping for today?